Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? The national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, still gives me chills. After all these years, after all this time, it still gives me chills. Happy Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen. Happy 4th of July. If you're an American, anywhere in the sound of my voice, around the world on the internet or across North America on the radio or the internet, happy Independence Day. We're going to celebrate that all day today. Yes, this is a live show, as it has been every 4th of July that has landed on a Monday through Friday, and I'm always glad to do our show. Of course, as you know, I do all the holidays live anyway, but and this is no different. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you about a story that I've been telling you about for a number of years, but it's a wonderful story, and I like telling you this one, and I'm pretty sure you like hearing it because it's a pretty cool story about how you and I, entrepreneurs, how you and I came to have, to be who we are and to have what we have and to be able to follow our dreams. He was the first of many members of the family Plantagenet to be the King of England. Henry II claimed the throne of England after his cousin Stephen died in 1154. Now, why is this important to contemporary small business owners like you and me? Well, Henry II is considered to be the founder of a legal system to which I believe entrepreneurs like you and me owe our freedom to be. And the world is a better place as a result of entrepreneurs having such freedom. As ambitious as he was intelligent, Henry's reasonably successful attempt to consolidate all of the British Isles under his rule created the need for order. His subsequent governmental and court reforms intended more for his own political expediency than to empower the people actually resulted in the emergence of a body of law which replaced elements of the feudal system that included such enlightened judicial practices as trial by ordeal. The evolutionary body of law that we're talking about, which became known as the English Common Law, includes the Magna Carta, 1215, the Bail Act, 1444, the Petition of Rights, 1628, the Habeas Corpus Act, 1679, the Bill of Rights, this is the English Bill of Rights, 1689, plus many other instruments and declarations which strengthen the rights of individuals and the ownership and enjoyment of property. Over five centuries after the death of Henry II, the legal and cultural tide of personal freedoms and protection of private property for ordinary people caused England's youngest Prime Minister, William Pitt, to summarize the concept of individual rights and property under English common law this way. The poorest man may, in his cottage, bid defiance to all forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storms may enter it, the rain may enter. But the King of England cannot enter. All his forces dare not cross the threshold of the ruined tenement. By the time Pitt spoke those words in the 18th century, to have been able to say this with impunity in England, let alone actually enjoy such liberty, demonstrated how far the invisible hand of Henry II's reforms had progressed. But across the Atlantic, in the colonies, there was a word in Pitt's quote that kept sticking in the craw of certain groups of malcontents, and one that was missing. One stuck in their craw, and one word that was missing. The word that they choked on, king. The word that was missing, freedom. In The Fortunes of the Republic, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "We began with freedom. America was opened after the feudal mischief was spent. No inquisitions here, no kings, no nobles, no dominant church," end quote. Just the kind of world those malcontents, America's founders, envisioned and set about creating, sans kings. In Origins of the Bill of Rights, Leonard Levy wrote, "Freedom was mainly a product of the New World conditions," end quote. Those conditions, as Thomas Jefferson so ably and famously wrote in the Declaration of Independence, were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, end quote. These were 18th century words for freedom and embryonic conditions for which all of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate, as you know, today, put their lives and their liberties on the line to give birth to. A decade later, America's Bill of Rights, which became the first amendment of the amendments, I should say, of the U.S. Constitution, clearly had its origins in a 100-year-old English document with the same name that I mentioned earlier. But the English Bill of Rights was created in a world that perpetuated the divine right of kings. The American document, holding the New World's concepts of personal rights and liberty, wasn't perfected to the founder's satisfaction until it perpetuated rights that were, as John Dickinson had declared two decades prior to the signing of the independence in 1766, he said, quote, "The freedom was born with us, exists with us, and cannot be taken away from us by any human power without taking our lives. Take that, you kings." We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to tell you about something that the great philosopher and defender of capitalism, Ayn Rand, said. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some modern thoughts on what I just told you and how you and I have benefited from some of the things that the founders gave us. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Happy Independence Day. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. We're going to have this kind of music all day. If you're not at least a little bit patriotic, you may not like our music today, but I hope you do. I think you will. I know I do. And I admit to being a patriot. I can't help it. I'm kind of proud of that, actually. And I'm. If you're an American, I'm pretty sure you are too. Right or wrong, isn't that what they say? Right or wrong, my country first. I was talking about. I've been telling you this story about how you and I came to have what we have as entrepreneurs. What we not only as Americans, but as entrepreneurs, the fact that you and I have the ability to work for and earn. To follow our dream and to earn things and to keep things and all that. And I was just telling you about this quote. I'll repeat this quote from John Dickinson from 1766. He says, "Freedom was born with us, exists with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives." Well, 200 years after he said that, philosopher, novelist, and prolific defender of capitalism, Ayn Rand, said, "The most profoundly revolutionary achievement of the United States of America was the subordination of society to moral law," end quote. To Rand, moral law is made manifest by individual rights. And even though the seed of the American experiment can be found in English common law, Rand still considered the United States to be, quote, the first moral society in history. Now, many years ago, I introduced you to something called the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor. This is a global study of the entrepreneurial environment in a number of countries all over the world. They've been doing this since 1999. I've been telling you about it every year since then. And the GEM, that's what it's called, the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, the GEM, revealed that there was a direct link between rate of new business startups and a country's economic growth. The study also revealed that among the many factors that contribute to entrepreneurship, perhaps the most critical is a set of social and cultural values, along with appropriate social, economic, and political institutions that legitimize and encourage the pursuit of entrepreneurial opportunity. In one word, freedom. In countries ranking high in the study's analysis, entrepreneurship is an integral and accepted feature of economic and personal life. Of the 10 industrialized nations studied, the United States, you won't be surprised, ranked number one in terms of entrepreneurship. Paul Reynolds, who was a study coordinator, said there is, quote, conclusive evidence that promoting entrepreneurship and enhancing the entrepreneurial dynamic of a country should be an integral element of any government's commitment to boosting economic well-being. Freedom. Entrepreneurs, by definition, take risks. Without the freedom to own and enjoy the fruits of such risks, why take them? Thank you, Henry II. And thank you, founders, because without your vision, courage, passion, and sacrifice, plus all who rallied to your cry to give birth to the new world definition of freedom, it's doubtful that entrepreneurship, as we know it, would exist. And if capitalism is the economic lever of democracy, entrepreneurship is the force that renews the strength and reliability of that lever for each new generation. We began with freedom, Americans. Freedom to dream and to try. Freedom to succeed and freedom to fail. Freedom to own and to enjoy. Freedom to accumulate and freedom to pass on what we've accumulated to the next generation. Americans, we began with freedom and entrepreneurship was born. We began with freedom and capitalism was made to flourish. We began with freedom and I believe the world is a better place for it. And so that's the story I wanted to tell you about how you and I became to have the ability to follow our dream, to be who we are. This, all the things that went before us, starting with Henry II and on right all the way down to King John with the Magna Carta and all the things that happened in England that gave rise to all the documents and the feelings and the philosophies and the beliefs and the willingness to take risks. All that went before us, and it gave us what we have today, and you and I are the stewards of that. We have been giving these things, and it's our responsibility to preserve them, to defend them, to protect them, to grow them, to make them stronger and pass on to the next generation, to my children and your children and our grandchildren. How are we doing on that, ladies and gentlemen? How are we protecting this wonderful environment, this wonderful entrepreneurial environment that was founded, that was created by those men and those women all those centuries ago? How are we doing? That's the question I think we should ask ourselves. How are we doing as stewards of entrepreneurship? How are we doing as stewards of freedom? Are we preserving what we had, what we were given, and passing it on stronger? How are we doing? That's the question that we have to ask each one to ask ourselves. And I hope we continue to ask ourselves as long as we live. I'm going to take a quick break. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for listening to me. Our good buddy, Bert Folstam, the resident historian of the Brain Trust, is going to be with us. We're going to talk some more about Independence Day and all things around it with our good buddy, Bert Folstam. That's coming up right after the next break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.